I'd like to begin by asking what exactly this FAR designation is and how federal officials are determining which parts of the country fall into that designation.
To understand this completely, we have to look at how federalism in America has worked. Now, federalism is a way where federal government has shared its monies back to communities and states for the past 30, 40 years. And one of the biggest problems in any kind of joint assessment of monies back to government has been urban and rural. How do you make a difference there? It used to be considered urban, all you needed was 2,500 population, and that's back in the 60s and 70s. And it's evolved now to a much more sophisticated approach, and now the latest round of designation has introduced, well, it's been around for a while, but introduced something called frontier and remote. And frontier and remote basically is a new way of judging rural populations, and their grading rules basically are how far it takes you from where you live to reach an urban core of 50,000 population. It used to be that would be simply look at a map and say, okay, it's within 45 minutes maybe by airtime. Now they say, no, you have to consider driving time. Well, in rural areas, a lot of back roads, very few interstates. So that pushes the geography out a little bit longer. So in West Kentucky, Jackson Purchase especially, we are now being considered, our zip codes are being considered, and area codes, as frontier and remote. Even though I live 45 minutes from Murray and about 45 minutes from Paducah, neither one of those core urban areas are over 50,000 population. Therefore, we're all lumped in with Ozarks in the Missouri area. And for federal purposes, especially the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and within the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Office of Rural Health, we are considered frontier and remote.
And what are they going to use this FAR designation for?
Good question, Todd. As in all federal regulations and new ideas, they start off with some maybe good points, but then as it evolves over time, it gets into a bureaucracy and it tends to take another life of its own. I see this as the end of federalism. Now, federalism is a, like I said before, a joint sharing of resources from our big brother in Washington down to states and locals and so forth. Kentucky was a leader back in the 70s. Kentucky, when we were presented a problem in the late 60s, early 70s, where there were about 1,200 to 1,400 federal programs had been created to do things with states and local government. Well, Kentucky had no way of handling that because most of our citizen leaders were unprepared to deal with the federal bureaucracy, and that's where the area development districts were formed. The ADs, the area development districts, were our answer to coordination with the federal government. And Kentucky, for about 10 years, was leader across the nation for this. Then about 1980, Reagan came in and started to cut programs, and that money started to dry up to where now, from starting really in 2000, to now, the federalism pot of money is pretty much gone from the golden days. So we're at a crucial crossroads here. We need infrastructure. We need everything you can think of a community. We need it to be fixed. And the only real source of money we have to look at is what we have here local. And, of course, that doesn't go very far. So America now stands at the edge of end of federalism and trying to figure out how do we pay for everything in an age when we're going to cut back even more. That's the biggest negative I see right now. And the other thing that's going to happen with frontier and remote designations, for our area in the Jackson Purchase, not so much in Murray or Paducah, but out here where I live, we're just going to be further pushed into this bubble of isolation, the feeling that we're all alone and there's nowhere we can go, that we're pretty much what we consider a throwaway community or a throwaway region within this civilization. So you got one negative being the federal government is pulling back in a big way. Then the other one is a mental, physical feeling out here among the people. And basically you're losing spirit as to who you are because you're now being called frontier.
It does sound as though it's a return to almost a pre-New Deal concept of the area.
Exactly. You got it right on the point. New Deal programs back in the 30s were meant to pull people out of their misery with no jobs, food was scarce, the spirit of the country was down. FDR came up with the new ideas, New Deal, and lifted basically the country out of that mess. Well, we're going back to it. We might not like it, but let me put a positive to this. I'm going to try to, I guess for lack of a better term, I'm going to waller in this. I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to take this idea of frontier and isolation and remoteness, and I'm going to turn it to a tourism positive. I'm going to tell the Japanese and Chinese, if they want to see real America, you want to see how America got started, you come to the river counties of West Kentucky. You look at the river that pretty much gives life to all of Mid-America. You look at a people who are bred as from frontier people from the early 1800s who carved out a civilization here when no one else would help them. This area, the Jackson Purchase, 1820s, was the last area bought by the federal government that then, once it was included into the federal government, that was the closing of the first frontier. That was the point at which we had no longer a frontier east of the Mississippi River. The second frontier is when we went from St. Louis out to California. But what I'm telling you, Todd, is that we can claim here a third frontier is being formed. The third frontier is around water. It's around what we produce, food and fiber. For example, if we get smart as a region and embrace biomass plants, biomass factories, if we come in and can grow hemp and other products that are high fiber content, we become overnight an energy capital. We can produce enough energy to get us off the grid. We're at a crossroads where if we don't do something soon, we're going to have towns shut down, towns go dark, lights go out. Or we can make this a place where we can entice people who want to retire into fun places. Don't be down with ourselves. Be proud we are frontier people. Let's look at our positives.
Well, are there any benefits that you see?
The biggest benefit I see is shaking the entire status quo. If we had leaders here, and I'm pretty much down on a lot of our government leaders because they don't do anything, they get in the way. We have legislators who have no idea the laws they pass, what the impacts are back at home, nor do they care. Most of our legislators in this area, except for the new ones who just got elected, are seeking retirement, early retirement, and away they go. We need bold leaders, people who are not afraid to stand up and say, look, we got a problem, let's try to fix it. And we have to get modern and realistic. Murray has just got a new German factory. Murray is going to be a hub of a cluster. The Germans move in a way to where if you got two plants there, you'll have five, and then you have five, you'll have eight. They cluster their culture within other cultures, which means that the areas around the lakes, which are wet now, you can buy liquor finally, you have a university, you have a culture, you have a nightlife, you have intelligent people who are working together. So Murray, I see, is our major shining star for the next probably two decades. It's going to draw in investment. Paducah is second in that. It will have a chance to do similar. But now you look at anywhere where there's heavy agriculture, if we don't modernize agriculture, We have to get away from just growing corn, wheat, and soybeans. We got to start processing things here, not just shipping it out. As long as we stay in the status of a third world country, then we're doomed. However, if we know this is a problem and can work towards it, then we can turn it around within 2 or 3 years. It's all about leadership. So I think the biggest positive coming out of this, it will force things to get so bad that our leaders will have no other choice but to lead.
You sound as though you're cautiously optimistic that being termed a frontier region is a temporary condition.
I think so. I think if you're studying Paducah and Murray, you think this is laughable. Hmm. We're not a frontier. You look out the window, you see all this activity. But in America, let's take a line. If you draw a line on a map from Texas up to the Canadian border and you look east, it's about 200 million Americans. Now, where are they located? In about seven centers. You got Chicago over to Pittsburgh area. You got Washington, D.C., New York up towards Boston. You got Atlanta, Georgia up moving up towards the Carolinas. You got South Florida. New Orleans has the Gulf Coast. Each one of those areas has 10 to 20 million people. they share one thing in common. Every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they share one thing in common. They consume resources. Their food, their water is trucked in. We're sitting here in the middle of that. If you look at a map, Jackson Purchase, West Kentucky, is sitting in almost the exact center of 200 million people. Now, what we have to offer, we don't consume, we grow. We have fresh water, we produce food, we can make fiber. All the things everyone else needs, we could do it right here. So within 5 to 7 hours, the market's waiting for us if we know how to use it. So, yes, I see it all as being temporary. Again, if the Chamber of Commerce, the governor, the General Assembly can sit down with our local leaders, the ads as well, and decide we're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to be poor and ignorant. We're going to decide to be bold and innovative as our forefathers did as frontier. We will build a new frontier. This is all about hope. Most of our people who live here are hopeful people. They're good people. They just need good leaders who will stand up to the times.
Futurist Ivan Potter is publisher of West Kentucky Journal. Mr. Potter, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for your opportunity.